Hey everybody, thanks for listening to iOS Dev Discussions. This is another episode of What I'm Working On, the show where I talk about, you guessed it, what I worked on for that week. And this week, it's a little light on some code here. We talk about how I handled the scrolling issue with Lottie, but mostly I was doing a lot of interviewing, whether that was for the marketing position or the iOS developer position that I put out on my YouTube channel, opened it up to the community, and got a ton of responses. So thank you to everybody that responded and was interested in that, but we're going to talk all about how that interview process is going, because that's what I spent most of my week on. And then a little special surprise on Friday that I was not really expecting. So more on that in a bit, but yeah, let's just get right into it. All right, so let's just dive right into Monday to kick things off. And I picked up where I left off last week with the scrolling issues I was having with the Lottie animations. And just to give you a quick recap in case you can't remember or this is the first episode, basically the home screen we're working with is like a map overview. It has five planets on it. I've tweeted pictures of this before, so if you haven't seen that, check out my Twitter. And each planet is its own UI, not a UI view, it's a lot animation view, which is a subclass of UI view. Anyway. So what's going on is we have each one of those views is its own Lottie animation. And when the view is not scrolling, looks great. Everything's working fine. But as soon as you start scrolling, there's performance issues. And we're getting, I don't know, I would say 20 to 30 frames per second rather than that, you know, buttery smooth 60 frames per second. And that is just unacceptable. Like it really feels like a clunky app. And, you know, we're not trying to do that out here. So I had to do some deep dive into kind of the performance of Lottie and like what are some common performance pitfalls. And the two things that in the documentation that said was, you know, a common cause of performance issues is one, the Lottie animation that was exported is too big. So for those that don't know, with Lottie, you create the animation in After Effects in a plugin called Body Movin', and then you export your animation from After Effects and it just spits out a JSON file, and then the lot animation view just reads the JSON and, you know, throws that into an animation, you know, to put it real simply. So basically what they said is make sure you're not exporting that as a huge size, and that's what we were doing. So my lot animation view is only 240 by 240 points on the screen, but the exported animation was 1,000 by 1,000. So when I first saw this, I was like, oh, sweet, we can cut that down by 75%. Hopefully that's a quick, easy win, and this scrolling issue will go away. As you can probably tell by the tone of my voice, that's not what happened. We did cut the size down from 1,000 by 1,000 to 240 by 240, and the scrolling issue still didn't go away. So I knew that was probably too good to be true, right? It couldn't be that easy. So now that size isn't an issue, another thing the documentation said to look at was, you know, it says if you use merge pass too much, and this is like a After Effects thing, I don't know what the hell merge pass actually are, but it says if you're using that too much in your animation, you know, that is known to cause performance issues. So I had my designer dig into that, and he said, you know, there wasn't any uses of the merge pass stuff. So, okay, we're striking out here, not sure how to fix this. There's two more options that we haven't tried yet. And again, we spent most of Monday morning kind of, you know, going over this. And that is he said he can adjust the frame rate of the animation, you know, to make it, you know, less heavy. I'm not sure that's going to fix the problem, but hey, we're going to try it. And then the other option is so there's another way Lottie animations work. You can have it just draw via the JSON, or you can actually attach image files like PNGs to the animation, and then, you know, Lottie will animate those PNGs accordingly. So we're going to try doing that. If those two things don't work, I have no idea how to fix this. I'll have to really do a deep dive. The good thing is so I've talked about like my HUT, home user test. If you've listened to previous episodes, you knew that was like a stressful February 1st date that I always kept talking about. That date got pushed back till, you know, the end of February for reasons that have nothing to do with me. So that bought me a little bit of time. But where I'm going with this is, sure, we're launching HUT 3, which is going to be our feature complete version of the app. What feature complete means is all the major features are in the app and built. You know, of course it's going to need polish, and, you know, we're going to, you know, spruce it up a bit and bug fixes, but as far as all the features being built, that's done. It's feature complete. So HUT 3 is feature complete, but and that's at the end of February. But we're not launching until like June or July because we got to wait on FDA approval. This past government shutdown and even a potential future government shutdown isn't helping that timeline at all. So where I'm going with this is that, you know, yes, HUT 3 feature complete end of February, but I'm going to have 3 to 4 months to just really polish, bug fix, you know, really polish this thing up so it's a really solid app. And so what I'm saying is if we don't get these animations right by the end of HUT 3, we're just going to go with the still images because, you know, you've seen the screenshots most likely. I mean, it still looks great. You know, it's just that animation gives it that, you know, it makes it feel alive. It's that nice ambiance. It really gives that extra, you know, oomph, if you will. I don't know why I said oomph. I don't know if that applies, but you get what I'm saying. It just adds that little something extra that makes the app feel alive, give it the ambiance, and that's what we're going for. So I think that's going to be the most likely scenario is we just go with the still images for HUT 3 at the end of February and then figure out these Lottie performance issues over the months while we're polishing it. So that was pretty much most of my Monday. I spent the last, you know, 2 hours or so of Monday afternoon reviewing the final submissions for the iOS developer job opening at Aluna. Had to go through, you know, 100 to 150 and kind of sort that out into who was going to move on to the next round, which is like the introductory phone calls, and then who, you know, was not moving on. And so I got those lists sorted out, and that pretty much ended the Monday. So diving into Tuesday, I had the last marketing interview, thankfully the last one. Again, if you've been following the show, you know I've been spending a lot of time being part of the final interview process for our VP of marketing position that we're looking to hire. I mean, interviewing is like a full-time job. You know, between the marketing interviews and what you're going to see here for the rest of the week for this iOS developer position interviews, there hasn't been much time for coding for me. So it's been very unproductive on that end. But at the same time, these hires are super important for the future of the company. So basically that marketing interview took up the entire morning because we did like a team outing slash lunch and we went and played mini golf at a place in the city. That was pretty cool. If you follow me on Instagram, I had an Instagram story about it, so you may have seen that. So the reason we did that is two of our teammates have birthdays on the same day in early February. So, you know, we decided to do fun little outing, grab some lunch, play some mini golf. So we did that, and then we came back into a sprint planning meeting. So you can see most of the day is pretty much gone already, you know, between all that. And so I spent the last couple hours of Tuesday afternoon starting to send out the, you know, the rejection emails and also letting people know, hey, you've made it to the next round. Let's schedule a call. And this kind of sucked. I'm not going to lie. I tweeted about this, but I've been on the other end of these rejection emails and it's a shitty feeling. Like I know I've seen it, you know, you think it's a perfect fit or you think it's something you'd really, really want to do. And then you get that rejection email and it sucks. There's no way around it. And again, like I said, I've been on the other end of it and it was real, real shitty being the one sending that email because again, I know how it feels. So that kind of sucked. But I kind of looked on the bright side that, you know, I am going to be able to help at least one person kick off their career, right? As much as I would love to help as many people as possible, this position is only for one person. And like I said, I got between 100 and 150 responses. So thank you for everybody that responded. And I apologize if it didn't work out. You know, best of luck to you. But so I started sending those out on Tuesday. As I said, it was between 100 and 150, so I didn't get to all of them on Tuesday and pick that up on Wednesday afternoon. But let's kind of just roll right into Wednesday, I guess. So Wednesday is when I started the first introductory calls. And what these introductory calls are, it's not really like a technical interview. One, I wanted to learn more about the candidates as a person, like what they like to do outside of work. You know, talk to them where they're at in their Swift journey, what kind of stuff have they built. It was also a chance for me to tell them more about the position, you know, what they'd be doing, when they'd be looking to start, you know, the compensation involved and kind of the plans for the company moving forward. And it was a chance for them to ask any, you know, questions they would like about the position. So that's what these intro calls were. They typically last about a half hour to 45 minutes. And then I got to do some, you know, prep time in between. So I had four of these scheduled on Wednesday. So as you can imagine, that pretty much took up the entire day. We did have our weekly design meeting, as you know, we do every Wednesday. And that's where, and I think I put this on Instagram, but we went over the background music for the home screen and the individual levels. Like we have our, you know, molten fire world level, we have our ocean level, storm level, and like a forest type level. And this may seem trivial, like why do you need a meeting to figure out sound effects? Like just have somebody do it. But we're really, really stressing that we want this app to feel alive and be very, very engaging. Because it's, again, it's for 8 to 12 year olds, right? So we want to keep their attention span. We want it to feel very alive and just just be a really, really good experience for them. So it's important to us. So yeah, we spent a whole meeting kind of playing with, you know, again, background music, sound effects, like what does the rocket launch sound like? What do the gem explosions sound like? And, you know, because again, the age group is like 8 to 12, we're going for that Super Mario Galaxy type upbeat, cartoony feel, but still with a space vibe. Because like a lot of the stuff we looked at, you know, sounded really, really cool to me, but I'm not an 8-year-old, you know? So we got to kind of keep that in mind with these sound effects and just theme music that we go with. So that wrapped up Wednesday into Thursday. It's kind of more of the same, to be honest with you. I had 4 more interview calls, and as I just described, having 4 of those calls pretty much takes up the large majority of the day. But I started thinking about the take-home test that I'm going to give, because that is the process I'm doing with this interview. Just for those curious out there, first step is this introductory call. If you make it past that introductory call, then you get a take-home test. Now, with the take-home test, Well, first of all, I don't even know what it is yet. I got to figure it out. More to come on that. But the take-home test, I'm not super concerned. Like, yes, I want to see your code, but I'm not super concerned with how well you complete it. Really, what I want the take-home test to be is something for us to discuss. Because the second part of that interview, like if you get a take-home test, is if you're in the Bay Area, an in-person sit-down with me to talk about the code, or we'll do it remotely. But that's the whole point, is to just talk about your project and discuss it in person. Because I feel if I can sit down with somebody for a half hour to an hour and just talk about their code, talk about their project, you know, why they made some of the decisions they made, and or if I see a memory leak, maybe I can go down that path. You know, when I see optionals, I can ask them about optionals, right? Like all the code's there to give me cues on like what to ask and to kind of like test their knowledge. So again, I just think sitting down with somebody for about an hour, talking about their code, I can learn a lot, you know, about what they know. So that's kind of the process of how I'm going about these interviews. And then the final interview is really a culture fit with the Aluna team, because at the end of the day, it's really up to the Aluna team to make this hire, have the final decision, I should say, because, you know, at the end of the day, I'm leaving. So they have to live with this person, right? So they want to make sure it's a good culture fit. You know, they're going to enjoy working with them. They fit in with the team, that kind of thing. So my plan is to give like 3 to 4 people that final interview. And if you make that final interview, you've got the Sean seal of approval. Like I say, you're good to go. And then again, it's up to the Aluna team to choose which one they want to go with. So, you know, for those that had introductory calls with me, you've already heard that. For those that haven't, or those are just curious how this process is going, that's what we're doing there. So like I said, I started thinking about that take-home test on Thursday, kind of jotting some ideas down. And then I actually did get to code a little bit on Thursday. That was fun. I'm literally talking like 15 minutes of code. Basically, just a quick security thing. We want to make sure admin accounts can't log into the app just for some crazy reason if somebody got a hold of our admin account, because our admin can see like all the users and all that stuff. So basically, when somebody tries to log in, we get a response that has like an account type. And, you know, basically, if account type equals admin, don't let them in is essentially what I had to code up. Show them a little prompt that says, you know, admin accounts cannot log into Aluna. You know, sorry, see you later. The joke was we were just going to pop up a middle finger emoji and that was it. But obviously, we can't do that. Anyway, another thing I wanted to say is these interviews, even though it's just sitting there talking to people, it's actually pretty mentally draining. Like I never realized that, especially when you're doing, you know, 4 and 5 of these hour long calls a day. I was just like, by the time I was done with all that, it was like 3:30. And I was just like, I'm mentally drained. I don't feel like doing anything. So yeah, I didn't realize how hard work interviewing was when you're doing multiples back to back to back to back. So yeah, I was pretty spent and I just basically left at around 3:30 to go play some basketball. So that brings us to Friday to wrap up the week, and there's not much to talk about on Friday because I didn't go to work. That's because I took the day off for a PayPal campus visit. Again, if you follow me on Instagram, you probably saw my story about that. It wasn't, and a lot of people asked me kind of like what I was doing down there. It wasn't an official interview. I was invited to lunch by one of the iOS team leads down there. You know, long story short, I interviewed with them back in early or mid 27, I don't know, like a year and a half ago. And the iOS lead that I talked to there, we really hit it off. It went very well. However, they were looking for a real senior person at that time, like somebody with 5+ years experience. I only had 2 back at that time. So it just didn't work out, but we still hit it off. And I'm sharing this story just to talk about, or just reinforce the lesson that I always say is always put your best foot forward, because things come back around. It can take a year, it can take 2 years, 3 years. Like it's amazing some of the stuff I did very, very early in my career that I'm like kind of benefiting from now. So long story short, he he remembered me from the interview, and I think randomly one time he heard me on John Sindel's podcast, and he's like, hey, I know that guy. I interviewed that guy. And then he started, you know, following the YouTube channel, seeing what was going on there. And you know, he kept checking in periodically, like every 6 months, saying, hey, man, love what you're doing in the community. This is awesome. And then finally he invited me down to lunch on Friday. So I took a trip down to the PayPal campus. That was pretty cool. Can't really talk about anything right now. It's super early in the process, but we'll see. Maybe some exciting things could be coming from that. So that pretty much wrapped up the week. Again, not a ton of coding. Just interviewing and hiring is like a full-time job. So that's also why I'm trying to get through this as fast as possible so I can get back to, you know, coding and building the app. Again, building that Hut 3 that's due at the end of February. So juggling a lot of balls right now, but hopefully we'll be on track, and I'll be here every week telling you all about that. All right, it's going to wrap up this episode. We'll talk to you in the next one.